I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Holler to him, man. Yeah.
Here we go, turn it up, let's start. From block to block, the second heart, the second march. And the punk police can't fake the American. We can have peace, some safety. But right now, I got my mind. Until then, rain.
our African brothers have gained their independence faster than you and I here in America have. They've also gained recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now or we don't think anybody should have it.
As it was mentioned in the last rally, the only provider many of our children know is the white welfare agent or the white social worker. And because of this, many of our children mistake the white welfare agent or the white social worker as their father. And sometimes they're right. You see all these little half-white babies running around in the community. They're not that way because you and I want them to be that way. The white man rapes and ravishes and takes advantage of our women. He'll take your little sister. Yes, he will. Your little baby sister is the potential bait for every white man in Harlem. Your little daughter, your mother, your wife. Ask them sometimes. Every time they walk past the white man, he hits on them. He thinks that they're animals, that he can abuse at will. This is where you get all these little half-white babies running around the street. None of them know who their daddy is. And all of them think that the white man is their daddy. And as I said, most of them are right. And if you and I, if we don't wake up and keep that white man away from our women, our race will really be destroyed. Keep that white man's claws off our women. Make him know that the best way, yes. I never would stand up to an audience as large as this and fail to warn you of the importance of protecting your own woman. You can't go in a white neighborhood and get a white woman. You can't get the white man's daughter in his neighborhood. You can't get his wife or his mother or his sister in his neighborhood. Then why should you let him walk around here in your neighborhood with your wife and your mother and your daughter and your sister? If you do it to him, he'll bust your head. And what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Remember that. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Do you understand what I'm saying? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Let him know that the...
We are African, and we happen to be in America. We're not American. We are people who formerly were Africans who were kidnapped and brought to America. Our forefathers weren't the pilgrims. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock was landed on us. We were brought here against our will. We were not brought here to be made citizens. We were not brought here to enjoy the constitutional gifts
that they speak so beautifully about today. Because we weren't brought here to be made citizens today, now that we've become awakened to some degree and we begin to ask for those things which they say are supposedly for Americans, they look upon us with hostility and unfriendliness. If you're interested in freedom, you need some judo, you need some karate, you need all the things that will help you fight for freedom. Nationalism is the wave of the present and the future. It is nationalism that's bringing freedom to oppressed people all over the world. It was nationalism that brought freedom to the Algerians. It was nationalism that brought freedom to the Nigerians and to the Ghanaians. It was nationalism that brought freedom to the people of Uganda and Tanganyika and Sudan and Somaliland. The Africans didn't get it by sitting in. They didn't get it by waiting in. They didn't get it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." They got it through nationalism. And you and I will get it through nationalism. What is it? What is it that makes it difficult for the philosophy of nationalism to spread among the so-called Negroes? Number one, they think they have a stake in America. They think they have an investment in this country, which we do. We invested 310 years of slave labor, 310 years, every day of which your and my mother and father worked for nothing. Not 8 hours a day. There was no union in that day. They worked from sunup until sundown, from can't see in the morning until can't see at night. They never had a day off. And on Sunday, they were allowed to sit down and sing about when they died, they wouldn't be slaves no more. When they died, they wouldn't be slaves no more. They'd go up in the sky, and every day would be Sunday. That's a shame. And it is that 310 years of slave labor that went in, that was my and your contribution into this particular economy and political system. They can give us the back pay. Let's join in. If this is what the Negro wants, let's join in. Let's show him how to struggle. Let's show him how to fight. Let's show him how to bring about a real revolution. Let's make him stop jiving.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tires skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, born on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna be this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live about my DNA. This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker, emeritus.
tell me something. You motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how this when you in the matrix. Out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillars. Sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building. Diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors. Peaches out the window, peeking out the window. Baby in the pool, Godfather goes. Only Lord knows I've been going hammer. Dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras. Eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals. Yoga on the Monday, stretching in the planner. Watching all the snakes, curving all the fakes. Phone never own, I don't camera sex. I don't compromise, I just penetrate. Sex, money, murder, these are the breaks. These are the times, level number 9. Look up in the sky, tennis on the way. Tennis on the way, tennis on the way. Motherfucker, I got winners on the way. You ain't shit without a buddy on your belt. You ain't shit without a ticket on your plate. You ain't sick enough to put it on yourself. You ain't rich enough to hit the ladder gate. Tell me when destruction gonna be my fate. Gonna be a fake, gonna be a fake. Peace to the world, let it rotate. Sex, money, murder, IDA.
The white man has done to you and me. He has divided us and used us one against the other. But today, thanks to Allah, you can say thanks to God or thanks to Jesus or thanks to Jehovah, whatever you want. But as a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have been taught to say thanks to Allah. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus called on Allah. He said, Allah, Allah, lama asabatani. I believe what's good for Jesus is good for you. If Allah was good enough for Jesus to call upon, I think he should be good enough for you to call upon. Since the so-called Negro community has shot the white man by resisting all efforts to divide us, I think that you and I should continue to shock him by staying and working together in unity. Despite religious, political, economic, or educational, or social differences, let us remember that we are not brutalized because we're Baptist. We're not brutalized because we're Methodist. We're not brutalized because we're Muslim. We're not brutalized because we're Catholic. We're brutalized because we are black people in America. Hey, your mother is being raped and you're not supposed to be emotional. Your women, please, your women can't walk the street without some cracker putting his hands on her, then you're not supposed to be emotional. If you say that you're fed up, if you teach the Negro, they don't even know their own name. Why? Because he took it away from them. Please, please. 20 million black people don't even know their own language. Why? Because he took it away from them. 20 million black people who don't even know the history of their ancestors. Why? Because he took it away from them. And if you try and tell them how thoroughly and completely they've been robbed, he says you're teaching hate. That's something to think about. Today, you are coming out of college. You're coming out of the leading universities. You're trying to go in a good direction, but you don't know which direction to go in. And if somebody tries to take you right to the root of your problem, they say that that man's a hate teacher. If I ask why should the senators in Washington, and then again, if we tell you that Negroes are being hung on the tree or being shot down illegally, unjustly, and those Negroes should do something to protect themselves, you say you're advocating violence. The white man is tricking you. He's trapping you. He doesn't call it violence when he lands troops in South Vietnam. Honey, please, please, please. He doesn't call it violence when he lands troops in Berlin. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, he didn't say get nonviolent. He said, praise the Lord, but pass the ammunition. But when someone attacks you, when someone comes at you with a club, when someone comes at you with a rope, when someone comes at you with a gun, despite the fact that you've done nothing, he tells you, suffer peacefully. Pray for those who use you despitefully. Be long-suffering. And how long can you suffer after suffering for 400 years? So I just want to clear up that little point right there, because he says that we play on your emotions. And when you turn on your television tonight, or your radio, or read the newspaper, they're going to tell you in that paper that I was playing on your emotions. Imagine you, a second-class citizen. That's not getting emotional, it's getting intelligent. And as far as your mayor is concerned, I see you should say their mayor, a man named Yorty, who has been slandering the Muslims, a professional liar. Who has mastered the art of using half-truths. Put it in the paper that they broke into our religious place of worship and got records that they can use to prove that most of us have criminal records. You can't be a Negro in America and not have a criminal record. Martin Luther King has been to jail. Please. James Farmer has been to jail. Why, you can't name a black man in this country who is sick and tired of the hell that he's catching who hasn't been to jail. Charged him with being seditious. They put Moses in jail. They put Daniel in jail. Why, you haven't got a man of God in the Bible that wasn't put to jail when they started speaking out against exploitation and oppression. They charged Jesus with sedition. Didn't they do that? They said he was against Caesar. They said he was discriminating. Because he told his disciples, go not the way of the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep. He discriminated. Don't go near the Gentiles, go to the lost sheep. Go to the oppressed. Go to the downtrodden. Go to the exploited. Go to the people who don't know who they are, who are lost from the knowledge of themselves, and who are strangers in a land that is not theirs. Go to those people. Go to the slaves. Go to the second-class citizens. Go to the ones who are suffering the brunt of Caesar's brutality. And if Jesus were here in America today, he wouldn't be going to the white man. The white man is the oppressor. He would be going to the oppressed. He would be going to the humble. He would be going to the lowly. He would be going to the rejected and the despised. He would be going to the so-called American Negro. To have once been a criminal is no disgrace. To remain a criminal is the disgrace. I formerly was a criminal. I formerly was in prison. I'm not ashamed of that. You never can use that over my head. And that he's using the wrong stick. I don't feel that stick. I went to prison because I believed in men like Sam Yorty. I went to prison because I trusted men like Sam Yorty. I went to prison following the philosophy of men like Sam Yorty. But since I've been following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I have been reformed, and that's more, please. That's more than Sam Yorty and Chief Parker and all these other white politicians have been able to do with the inmates in the prisons of this state. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit for reforming and rehabilitating men whom they have failed to reform and rehabilitate.
Neither a Republican nor a Democrat nor an American, and got sense enough to know it. one of the 22 million black victims of the Democrats. One of the 22 million black victims of the Republicans, and one of the 22 million black victims of Americanism. And when I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican, nor an American. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. We haven't benefited from America's democracy. We've only suffered from America's hypocrisy. And the generation that's coming up now can see it and are not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you're black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. Long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're south. Don't call Governor Wallace a Dixie governor. Romney is a Dixie governor. Yeah. 22 million black victims of Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And which means that any block, any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who go to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. In Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republicans. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you back controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you, because you're a chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government, and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time, and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you are not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race. And what kind of alibi do they come up with? They try and pass the buck to the Dixiecrats. Now, back during the days when you were blind, deaf, and dumb, ignorant, politically immature, naturally you went along with that. But today, as your eyes come open and you develop political maturity, you're able to see and think for yourself. And you can see that a Dixiecrat is nothing but a Democrat in disguise. You look at the structure of the government that controls this country. It's controlled by 16 senatorial committees and 20 congressional committees. Of the 16 senatorial committees that run the government, 10 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. Of the 20 congressional committees that run the government, 12 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. And they're going to tell you and me that the South lost the war. Today are in the hands of a government of segregationists, racists, white supremacists, who belong to the Democratic Party but disguise themselves as Dixiecrats. A Dixiecrat is nothing but a Democrat. Whoever runs the Democrats is also the father of the Dixiecrats, and the father of all of them is sitting in the White House. I say it again, you got a president who's nothing but a Southern segregationist. From the state of Texas, they'll lynch you in Texas as quick as they'll lynch you in Mississippi. Only in Texas, they lynch you with a Texas accent. In Mississippi, they lynch you with a Mississippi accent. And the first thing the cracker does when he comes in power, he takes all the Negro leaders and invites them for a coffee. To show that he's all right. And those Uncle Toms can't pass up the coffee. They come away from the coffee table telling you and me that this man is all right. Because he's from the South. And since he's from the South, he can deal with the South. And look at the logic that they're using. What about Eastland? He's from the South. Make him the president. If Johnson is a good man because he's from Texas, And being from Texas will enable him to deal with the South, Eastman can deal with the South better than Johnson. Oh, I say, you've been misled. You've been had. You've been took. In Washington a couple of weeks ago while the senators were filibustering, and I noticed in the back of the Senate a huge map, and on this map it showed the distribution of Negroes in America. And surprisingly, the same senators that were involved in the filibuster were from the states where there were the most Negroes. Why were they filibustering the civil rights legislation? Because the civil rights legislation is supposed to guarantee voting rights to Negroes in those states. And those senators from those states know.
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the House Negro
and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master say, we got a good house here, the house Negro say, yeah, we got a good house here. Whenever the master said we, he said we. That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, what's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick. He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, let's run away, let's escape, let's separate, that house Negro would look at you and say, man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this? That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, I'm the only Negro out here.
I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You nothing but a house Negro. And if someone come to you right now and say, let's separate, you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. What you mean, separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa. That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was the field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master. When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. The masses are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts, our Navy, that's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. Just as the slave master in that day used Tom, the house Negro, to keep the field Negroes in check, the same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Toms, 20th century Uncle Toms, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful and nonviolent. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he starts pulling. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there, and because you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully.
Black power, black power, black power, black power. Today on New Black Panther Party Radio, as you have called into this broadcast, you called in 718-664-6398, as you have done every night, to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense live broadcast under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Today on day 442 is an honorable day as we have reached that day here on May 9th, 2021, as today is Malcolm X Day. Black power to all of our comrades on the line. I want to get a mic check for my national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. This is a great day. Black power, can you
Black
hear me?
Power,
happy Malcolm X Day.
Happy Malcolm X Day,
comrade. Black power.
Happy Malcolm X Day. Ahaz Malik Shabazz. Ahaz Malik Shabazz. Malcolm X. That's the name he chose for himself after he went to Mecca and made his Hajj. But many of us know him by Malcolm X, so we're going to keep the energy moving. As we heard some very powerful, powerful clips from the great, mighty ancestor. No nation on the planet Earth, no people on the planet Earth can say they have a Malcolm X as an ancestor.
Absolutely.
We
not.
Have a Malcolm X, our ancestor. No nation
That's
can
right.
say they got a Marcus Garvey, a Huey P. We are very powerful and beautiful people, despite all the things that we've been through. We can sit back. It was very tragic for our people when Malcolm X was assassinated. But Malcolm X had the same energy, the same spirit as those of us who are on this call right now in the New Black Panther Party. Malcolm X was not very popular. He was popular, but he was very, people were afraid of him. They didn't like the language that he was speaking because the masses of our people were so deaf, dumb, and blind. The masses of our people, they wanted to assimilate and get down with the Dixiecrats and the Democrats and integrate. There's always been those from the first day that the war started against African people. We've always had freedom fighters. There's never been a time throughout our history that we have not fought back. See, many of you, our people, think that we are free for some reason. You've been sold the lie of Juneteenth. That you've been free. But how could you be free and still be under the rulership and the captivity and the foot of those who enslaved your ancestors? It was a Ponzi scheme. It was a trick. As Malcolm said, you've been duped. You've been chumped. Brother Laramie comes on quite often out of Baton Rouge and speaks about the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment both not only kept us in chattel slavery, but it played a very sinister spell and mental mindfuck that has been going on for too long. In the 1860s, in the 1800s, there were rebellions on top of rebellions, insurrections of so-called slaves from the time of 1804 in Haiti. And those insurrections shot across New Orleans and Louisiana and Lafayette and the Carolinas. Look it up. We've always resisted. In Virginia, freedom fighters rose up against our enslavement. There were those, like with the Amistad, well, freedom fighters rose up against the slave ships. Even the nation of Ecuador in South America was established by blacks who overtook the so-called ships of the enslavers. They overtook it and they set up land where they set up a nation where they landed. Look into the history of the Maroons. Look at the history of the Gullah Geechees in the Carolinas. We've always resisted. There's always been resistance, but the resistance, the people who stood against it, have not been the majority. The majority of the people are so fearful. You are so dependent on the enslaver that you would even attack those of us who say, no, let's get free. See, in 1865, after battle, after the Negro, so-called Negro, was told, if you fight this war against the crackers, my brothers in the South, we'll free you. But they didn't do that. In fact, they said, we will free you and give you land. This is what the promise was. But as you all know, the white man keeps no promises. The white man is the devil, the evildoer, who pats you on the back on one hand and stabs you at the back with the other hand. The Democrats do it while smiling in your face and making you false promises. And the Republicans do it while looking you right in your eye and calling you a nigger. But they all do the same thing. In 1865, when the so-called slavery ended, by the 13th Amendment, it says you can't be a slave or an indentured servant. Let's look at these two terms, a slave nor indentured servant. What is an indentured servant? Well, we are letting you know that the majority of the people now, most of our people are living as volunteer indentured servants. An indentured servant worked for a period of time to pay off their debt until they were able to get their so-called freedom. True freedom encompasses having your own land and territory, and you govern yourself, and you provide for your own kind and own people. Independent sovereign nation. Do we live as that? No, we don't. We live under the foot of the people who enslaved us. And how did this come about, that we are still under this spell and participating in our own demise and passing from generation to generation these lies? 1865, they said you can't be a slave or an indentured servant unless you commit a crime. So immediately in the 1860s, they created the Black Codes. They made everything a crime. Walking across the street, trying to get a job, trying to marry, trying to own land. These were all became crimes under the Black Codes by penalty of death. And in the Black Codes, there's the clause called manumission, where the so-called slaves would petition to go back into slavery. And you would ask, why would you do this? Why would our people do this? Because they made the conditions of living a life that even an ant could do impossible. The birds don't have a job. The ants don't have a job, but they're not subject to being slaughtered if they don't go and work for the cracker. This was the condition that our people were put in the 1860s. It became illegal to own land. They came up with things like you laughed in public, you going to jail. You looked at a cracker, you going to jail. You're going to go back into slavery. And they corporatized. They corporatized the chattel slavery process into corporations. They had their big meeting. And instead of, because prior to the 1865, when they corporatized these states, you could individually identify who the slave owner was. You could say, there go the Jackson plantation and do the Nat Turner to them hoes. You can say, oh, there go the Johnson plantation and do the Nat Turner to them devils.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
but when
right.
they came up with the state and the corporation, now these families are hidden under the state, this state of Texas, this state of Louisiana, this corporation. Now you cannot easily identify who the slaveholder is. And now you work for those same people. In fact, just in the days of chattel slavery, folks would brag and say, I'm working on, they would brag. Do you know that our people were so sick? They would brag on which plantation had the biggest house, which master had the so-called master had the most money. And you do it to today. Oh, I work for Dell. I work for IBM. Damn it. Hold on.
Look, man, Black Power, Sister Crystal, our national chairwoman, as we can clearly tell, you know, the spirit and wisdom of Malcolm X still resides in our great freedom fighters today. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. Family, today we honor the great Malcolm X on this broadcast. We have been for 3 days.
I apologize.
Go ahead, comrade. Go ahead.
I apologize. We had a family member calling urgently. But what I wanted to build on, we could easily identify who our oppressor was, who the slaver was, and our people were fighting them back, slaughtering them, decapitating, liberating themselves from captivity. So what did this government do? They said, you can't be a slave unless you commit a crime. And then many of you so-called celebrate Juneteenth when Texas was the last state in Galveston to let people know that they can not longer physically, by law, legally be made slaves. And that was June 19th, 1868. This is why folks celebrate Juneteenth. Yet we were never truly liberated. The land that was promised, which we get the 40 acres and a mule by the Sherman Land Trust Act, they shot Lincoln in the head, and it was immediately vetoed. That was a form of reparations. It was immediately vetoed, and the reparations was paid to the southern slave owners for the land that they lost and for the slaves that they lost during the Civil War. And these same families are the ones who still are ruling this nation. In fact, they are the ones who are ruling, helping to rule the planet. And these same families are the ones who put people in office. And in the 1860s, when black men, not black women, were allowed to get into office, they snatched them out the halls of Congress and lynched them. See, the lynching started after 1865 in masses. Because prior to 1865, we were considered property. So the people who were being lynched were the people who tried to claim their land rights, who went into office. Look at what happened in Colfax, Louisiana, on so-called Easter. Many massacres took place, not just like in Tulsa. These people have never stopped slaughtering or executing us. The problem is, as Malcolm said, they also came up with a class system with the house nigger, yard nigger, and field niggers. And they mastered it so good to when they said, basically what happened in the 1800s, they said, okay, y'all are free, but with the 14th Amendment, this is the law. The 14th Amendment says you are free, but you're our subjects. You're under our rule. We still govern over you. So how are we free? How are you free? Explain to me, how are we free? Do we know what freedom is? We've never known freedom. In fact, we are still in captivity. We are still in captivity. And this is why Malcolm is so important to us, because he didn't push the lies. He told the truth. He told the truth and paid the ultimate price, his life. He was assassinated. And they knew, used Negroes to do it, just like they do today. They use Negroes to assassinate us physically and to character attack us. Character assassinations. They use Negroes to do it. Because when a cracker does it, everybody's going to say, oh, that's a racist. So they use these Negroes to push the policies. They use these Negroes to push their wicked agendas. Assimilation, integration. The Black Power movement, the resistance movement has always existed. And as we started getting, you know, even after the 1860s, when you got to the point of the 1950s, when Malcolm in 1960s, when these brothers and sisters in 1920s with Marcus Garvey, when these resistance movements started getting larger and larger, they came up with a plot called the Civil Rights Movement to get you to assimilate, to integrate, because from 1860 until 1960, by us being on our own, segregated, we had our own schools, we had our own hospitals, we had families, we had farms, we taught our own self. We began to get economically independent and strong, just like in Tulsa. And in many cities across America, Tulsa wasn't the only one. Houston had his own Black Wall Street. New Orleans had his own Black Wall Street. In fact, almost every major city, every city and even township where we set up, we put our own businesses and industries in place. And we started having doctors and lawyers and fighting them in the courts and building, coming up with technologies of advancement in the medical industries. And so to put an end to that, and we were also fighting them with their lynchings and their Jim Crow in inhumane scenarios. We were fighting them in their courts. We were resisting them. So they came up with a plot called integration. Well, okay, you don't know no longer the need to have your own independent operations. Turn all that shit back over to us and fuck smooth over the Black nation and set us back another 100 years as we speak. You got Negroes walking around here with blonde hair and putting in blue eyes, wanting to assimilate so hard they want to do the Michael Jackson. You trying to assimilate so hard you don't even think about resistance. There are too many people. But yes, there is a generation that has been rising up. But as they're rising up, they're being funded and funded money to push these wicked agendas. I'm going to say it. Homosexuality is the ultimate eugenics. You will destroy the nation just by that. You're not reproducing. That is not the way of Africans. And Africans, our traditional, we had land vastness. We wanted to be, we were fruitful and multiplied. We loved children. We had everything we wanted. The European was the one in the cave in cold conditions. And every mouth was a liability to them to feed. So they preferred to fuck little boys. It's true. Because they wouldn't reproduce. This is not the way of us. This is the way of the European. But people are being assimilated. To today, they're paying so much money if you just play the game. If you get the people to keep believing in this government, if so long as the people who this land was taken from, who we are the indigenous of this land, so long as the people who were enslaved and treated the worst continue to affirm your captivity, then this nation exists. And you're saying, yes, I agree for you to rule me. Prior to the 1860s, you even didn't get a chance. You didn't have no option. You had no participation in this. It was the U.S. government Navy ships that were part of enslaving us. It was the British Navy ships. These were government operations by families. By families, individuals who financially and economically benefited. And this country got its wealth when for 300, 400 years of free labor, 400 years, since 1511, 1505, when the church, the Catholic Church said, you are not human. We needed to be enslaved. And they gave you, they had Shakespeare rewrite that Bible. I'm going to tell you the truth. And we've always had people to tell you the truth. Malcolm X, he told you the truth from the ruler to the tutor, even when it wasn't popular. Even when he had issues with his own base of where he came into knowledge in the nation. He didn't bite his tongue. He still spoke how he felt. It made him not popular. Just as we are today in this formation of the new Black Panther Party. It's easy. It would be easy to say, hey, just assimilate, participate in this government. No, fuck that. This government is a criminal enterprise. They're the police or employees of the state, employees of the United States government, employees of the city. They slaughter us. Their district attorneys are employees of the state, employees of the United States government. They don't do anything when the pigs slaughter us. The DAs are the ones who are sending our people to prisons in droves. And these prisons are the funded and owned and ran by the same people who enslaved our ancestors. And what are the politicians doing about it? Not a fucking thing. What has Biden done since he's been in office? Not a goddamn thing. What has Kamala Harris done? Not a damn thing. All y'all did was go and vote and get them motherfuckers a job. Well, they can get paid $500,000 a year for the rest of their life. And so are these state representatives and other politicians. They're not doing shit for the community. Keep it 100. They are the modern day overseers in the house, in the plantation. As Malcolm said, the house Negroes. And they have a problem when we speak not only about our independence, our separation, our having our own nation. They have a problem with us connecting with our brothers and sisters in Africa. I know it for a fact. The moment Sharif and I came back from South Africa from the Pan-African Convention, we didn't even put our foot off the plane, and we were dragged and detained by Homeland Security. And they went through everything, and the Border Patrol and the CIA. And they went through every article that we had, took pictures of, despite how much we spoke out against it. And you know what they did? They kicked us out the airport. And we had to walk back around. They kicked us out the back of the airport. We had to walk back around and go through checkpoint. And then they tried to set me up and put a bullet on me. Every time we go on the plane, we go through. This is because we are freedom fighters. I bet you the civil rights motherfuckers ain't doing it. Going through what we're going through? Who spends money to send Negroes to go do a character attack against someone unless they are not powerful? I know who I am. We know who we are as freedom fighters. We know that our voices, the things that we say, the actions that we do, we don't sit in and hold events after events after events. No, we do revolutionary actions. We do revolutionary actions. We go and check the state directly, the offender directly, the pig department, the DA's offices, the governor, the mayor, the crackers that did the infraction. Well, you got these other hen-picked Negroes luring you off into a room somewhere to talk shit about the white man after you can pay the white man to come talk shit about them. Fucking nincompoops. But this day is a very holy day. Not only do we honor Malcolm X, we embody, we study. For many of us, like myself, reading Malcolm X books was part of us, his autobiography over 30 years ago was part of me waking up and coming into consciousness. They didn't teach us about Malcolm X in school or the Panther Party. I learned this once I was out and self-taught and came across knowledge, people like the Brothers and Sisters in the Nation and Black United Front and In Cobra and these groups that were telling us, and Tony Broder and The Shrine and these individuals that were hosting events to wake us up. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with hosting events to wake us up and to having great lectures, but it requires more than sitting and listening to someone speak. It requires far more than speeches. It requires great action, participation, Malcolm X had a family. His house was bombed. He was assassinated. His children went through all kinds of things, as well as his wife, who died tragically. Then his grandson was murdered once he started becoming a black activist. They threw him over a balcony in Mexico. He was coming into his consciousness, into his, into his activism, into his revolutionary spirit as he started traveling and getting involved in resistance work. These crackers don't forget. They attack us generationally. You want to assimilate. What has assimilation got us? What has integration got us? We have poverty like never seen before. Homelessness like never seen before. Domestic violence like never seen before. We murder ourselves. Our children are murdering one another because it's shameful how we live. You go, do you see the white folks coming to beg us for a job? Do you see anybody coming to beg anyone for a job other than the black nation? Most nations have their own industry or business for the most part. Of course, you know, you got here and there, you know, in the American system. But I'm talking about nations. We are people. The integration and the civil rights movement fucked smooth over us. Our people were demanding equality. And it was substituted. It was a word play. It was a Ponzi scheme. It was a fix that came in and switched the term of equality into integration. And the integrationalists were pushed up in the forefront, and those who wanted independence and equality were assassinated and murdered. And this is the fact. Martin was once an integrationalist until his eyes were open as he was meeting with Malcolm. And he was murdered. Sam Cooke started getting political. He was murdered. And they were all friends, became friends, or started becoming allies, I should say. Know your history. Don't just study Malcolm for his birthday. And I would like to thank our National Chief of Staff and the National Central Committee of the New Black Panther Party for holding the line, but in particular, our Chief of Staff has done the Malcolm X Marathon leading up until today. Don't just celebrate Malcolm on his birthday as just a cliche. Study him. Embolden, embody him. And the beautiful thing about him, he wasn't a petty bourgeois Negro. He was a brother from the street. His parents were Garveyites. They were people who followed the teachings of the most honorable Marcus Garvey. His father was murdered, just as he was murdered, and his grandson was murdered. His male lineage. These are how these crackers watch you. They took his mother and put her in a sane asylum. She was not insane. And they took the children, and they sent Malcolm to a school, just like the schools we go to, to tell you you ain't shit. They say it indirectly because they don't teach you anything about yourself. All you taught about is white this, white that. You've created an inferior complex in the educational system. And just as Malcolm said, you work to death. Our ancestors will work to death. And then on Sunday, you send your children and you go and worship the cracker. It's treachery. But I know he's not talking about nobody on this radio. Because people who listen to this show are conscious. But I'm talking about our people as a whole. And we have to go and get them. We have to teach them. We have to show them. We have to forge ways. We cannot pass this on to another generation without putting a dent, without crippling, without buckling it. And I pray to the ancestors that we destroy this wicked nation. And then we rise back to who we truly are. We are the rulers of this planet. This is our land. Every corner of it. every section of it. Don't come with us with no political motherfucking games. Don't take no backroom deals. They come around us because we will out you. You need to be 100. 100. Hell, we know an example of a brother. We can give you an example of a few brothers and sisters who have gotten in political office and have done maybe, 30-40%. You know, they try to, they routed resources, but they still tiptoe. We understand using strategy of infiltration and wisdom, but how many of them actually do that? Maybe 1%, if that. Maybe a quarter of 1%. 99% of black people who get into political positions, they don't do shit for black people. They become the gatekeepers. They become the blockers. They be like, I got them, boss. That's what they do. And very rarely we'll have a Cynthia McKinney or a Chukwe Lumumba or a Ross Baraka. Very rarely. Ross Baraka up in Newark. But that's very rare. But he's the son of a Panther. So it was very rare that this happened. So what we need to do is not only we become political analysts and strategists. Listen to when Malcolm talks. He's a political master, an analyst, a strategist, a doer. We honor our great ancestor, Malcolm X. We're continuing the legacy. We want to open up the phone lines. I want to pass it back to Brother Captain Sadiq, but we want to remind everyone that's listening, press one. Press one, and that'll put you in the queue to speak. Everyone should have something to say today. Black power.
Black power, Sister Crystal. Black power, man. Just what a like he said, Sister Crystal. It's a holy day, and I think that it just pulls at us, even magnetically as revolutionaries, because we know the legacy that we carrying on, and what a great work, right? To carry on the movement away of, we give thanks to our ancestors, our warrior ancestors. That is why we celebrate Malcolm X, because he is a warrior and a revolutionary. So many people, man, when he talks about the house Negro and the field Negro, don't understand how important that is politically when it comes to revolution. And then he asked us when he gave the address, what is Black Revolution? And he says, what is the difference between the Negro Revolution and the Black Revolution? And he asked us, he says, for us to identify what the objectives, goals, and methods are for revolution. What the objectives, goals, and methods are, and results. What happened? How do we get into this position? What's the objectives? How do we move? What's our mission? So much of the new Black Panther Party, if not the entirety of the way that we move and the way that we present ourselves, the way that we deal with the enemy, our actions, our narrative, it's Malcolm X. And I just want to briefly just say that, comrades and family, like the modern impact of the new Black Panther Party today, as we struggle today, as it is and as it relates to the legacy of Malcolm. Why do we love our revolutionaries today and our freedom fighters today? Because through what they demonstrate every day, they are willing, and I'm talking objectively. Yeah, I know I'm a revolutionary, but I'm talking objectively. Because they are willing to sacrifice and willing to pay the price for our liberation. We are so defeated mentally that we even think and say to ourselves and go up against those people. Now, we talk about the field Negro, and how we deal with them. What is this disrespect that comes at us in the new Black Panther Party? More specifically, and I have to address it, as Sister Crystal is speaking on this line, Sister Crystal Muhammad, right? The legacy of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, giving way to these great, works of great African giants, and still they walk amongst us today. I've learned so much from our national chairwoman,
And we thank you, Sister Crystal. And it is because of the legacy of Malcolm X that we adore and admire. But we want to get one thing straight. For the record, there should be more protection. There should be more protection for our revolutionaries, especially those who move like our national chairwoman and the entirety of our National Central Committee. But I'm being biased right now for the sake of what we're talking about, how it relates to the legacy of Malcolm. The enemy works to discredit, to disrupt, and to destroy the revolutionary every single way. And that is what they have done. That is what they continue to do. And it is the work that they do against the new Black Panther Party and have come viciously against our national chairwoman, have come viciously and remorsefully against our national field marshal, Brother Sharif Amenhotep, viciously at King Samir, viciously at Brother Bobby, viciously at our great revolutionaries today. There must be protection. We must defend those who defend us, who sacrifice maybe even their sanity at some point. Because if we look at ourselves, hell, we'll drive ourselves crazy with the Negro mess. Many times sacrificing the basic or the luxury, excuse me, amenities that we all go for to take that finance, to put it up into bill for revolutionary, for work. As Sister Crystal talked about Malcolm having a family. Our revolutionaries have families. We have families. That's why we should protect our leaders. I'm talking about down to the body. Cover down on them. That's why you have to watch the way that you come at the new Black Panther Party. Is if we are protecting the legacy of Malcolm X when we protect our national chairwoman. We are protecting the legacy of Malcolm X when we defend the new Black Panther Party and the platform of the new Black Panther Party. We are protecting the legacy of our ancestors. We can say that because we move that way. It is the truth. We tell the truth. We embody the spirit of Malcolm X. We give thanks to the Almighty God, the Almighty Creator, for birthing and bringing way to for his parents to give birth to our great ancestors. But it is our revolutionaries on the ground today who embody that spirit. And if we're calling ourselves militants, and we're calling, and this goes not just for on the ground, this goes for social media. This goes for people who are spreading scandalous lies as they did against the most honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, as they did against the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, as they did against the most honorable Hajj Malik Shabazz Malcolm X, as they did against the most honorable Kwame Ture. They always take out our ancestors, and we're not having it. It moves me to know that I'm in the position to be able to cover down and back those who really truly want us to be free. I will never support those who turn their backs. So you have to watch the way you step to the new Black Panther Party. Because when you step, you are stepping to those who are willing to protect that which you have convinced yourself is not with us because it is gone physically. The embodiment of Malcolm X is with us today. And in embodiment, you have body. We are not playing with the enemy, and we're not playing with disrespectful house Negroes. We're field Negroes, like Malcolm said, in the field, working for the liberation of the people. What is the impact of the new Black Panther Party, of the revolutionary, of the Black militant movement today? And as it relates to the legacy of our great ancestors, it is not changed. The things that Malcolm talked about, the issues, have not changed. Many of the solutions to deal with these issues have not changed. We still are living in the day of the Republic of New Africa. We still are living in today of the Black Panther Party. We're the new Black Panther Party. You know the history of the Black Panther Party. Some of you think you do, but some of us still scandalize those who fight. It's going to stop. It's done. It's over with. We cannot allow for people to try to recreate madness, the same madness that was used in the vicious assassination of our ancestor. And it tears us up every day when we think about the Negroes who traded, like the Negro William O'Neill, who traded on Fred Hampton and gave the layout and had Fred Hampton and Mark Clark murdered as he laid next to his wife, who was pregnant with his son, who is our great comrade today. We're not going to have it. It stops today. We will defend our leaders. We will not and should not allow for our leaders to be scandalized. And when they are, we should rise up with the mighty force of a black nation and crush the goddamn infidels, crush the damn oppressors, crush the damn military occupancy and the house Negroes that they use to carry on their wicked plans, their deeds. Malcolm told us, when you see the deeds of the European, it's the deeds of a snake, the deeds of a beast, the deeds of a serpent. That is what we're dealing with. And they have recruited Negroes and made them beasts and made them serpents. That is not our nature. Our nature is not to be wicked. Our nature is not to go against ourselves. But we battle against the oppressor, and we battle against those who agree with the oppressor. There is no middle ground. They asked Malcolm, he says, we must pay the price for freedom. They said, what is the price then, Malcolm? Some scandalous reporter, he says, the price of freedom is death. He pays the ultimate price. You're going to go anyway. Some of us are going to go because. And some of us are going to go for a cause, but you got to go. Many of us are not even born, but you got to go. Those who pay the price, those who show today that they have paid and are willing to pay, those who have continually, year after year, decade after decade, demonstrated and embodied the spirit of Malcolm X, we would have to be crazy, foolish, ignorant, and insane. Deaf, dumb, and blind. If we do not rise up and protect our revolutionaries today, you will argue us down. You will make people in your family black sheep because they tell you that Biden is a devil. Because they tell you don't take the vaccine. Because they tell you the truth. So we know what you will say about us and what you say about us. But we speak to the masses who think that way. Of course, they the people. But we also speak to that core, that few, that warrior class, that chosen to fight, willing to be a warrior. But we will tread cautiously. We will be honest. We will tread cautiously. Malcolm said he'll work with everybody or nobody. We'll work with black people. But if you do not demonstrate the same direction and you are willing to integrate, and you are willing to homosexualize, and you are willing to have a integrated mentality, we're not going to want to work with you. We're not going to work with you because you are one who, because of your love for the European, you will go against, you will scandalize. Some of us who say that we're revolutionaries, we scandalize and we lie on those because we want to be in that position. And instead of doing the work to get there, this is not no popularity contest. We know black people love us, but we are not foolish. And we know many of our own people talk about us like a dog and then smile in our face. It is the same as what happened with Malcolm and Garvey and all of our ancestors. So tread lightly, as we do when you are dealing with people, because unfortunately, we have been infected by the wicked ways of the American government. Every time you listen to this broadcast, we give praise and thanks to Malcolm. We make it our business to go and look through the tapes and lectures and all of that to try to bring and control the narrative and keep it the same. So this is not new for us. But on this day, we should remember, as Malcolm says, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So if America using arms, as Malcolm called for, rifle clubs, we are not a club, but we got rifles. Because we are willing to protect our people and protect ourselves, we've met these directives. If the American government can go all around the world and is unwelcome in these places that they go and are stealing resources, then there should be no issue with us, even though we don't care what the government thinks or with the government, on us standing up and arming ourselves to protect our families, our children, and have self-preservation. With that said, we wanted to make clear, and I wanted to make clear, that what we have in our midst today is the Black Revolution. Why are we waiting for something to come up the street or some movie scene to come into your neighborhood? It is at our doorstep. We are the ones that are going to have to make the choice on what we're going to do. We will back those who are willing to back the people, and we will we present this platform to the Freedom Fighters. And we're going to move on some revolution. We're going to fight. That's all it's about. Have self-determination. We're going to continue to inspire the people to have self-determination. So for those that have called in, we know that you have something to say about our great ancestor, about the legacy of Malcolm X. There should be number one press all the way down to the bottom of the call sheet tonight. Drop what you are doing. Give a shout out to our great ancestor right now. Press the number one. Put the damn Netflix remote down and press the number one. Just stop watching Real Housewives of whichever city and press the number one. Stop whatever you are doing, because today is the day that we give honor to our great ancestor. Let's see who we have on the line. Black Power Day 442, New Black Panther Party Radio. We say happy Malcolm X Day as we celebrate the legacy of our comrade. Visit our national website, mbpp.org. We have an 864 caller. You on the line. You're live on New Black Panther Party Radio, 864. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Love. I say, Black Power to y'all, comrades. This is the comrade of South Carolina, you son. Tonight was definitely, first I want to say I say to the revolutionaries who done got assassinated and that are gone and no longer with us, but they will all with us in spirit. Like I said, tonight was a powerful call. And I love Malcolm X. He's a great brother, and I've learned so much from him. And yeah, our people are destroyed, and it's a shame. You know, a lot of us, most of us, would never know the meaning of being free. Never. And you know, it saddens me every day that I'm in the community and I just watch, and I'm like, damn, we're like in a matrix. We're zombies. We're dead. We're not even a fully alive. We think we're alive, but we're not. And it's just, we have a whole lot of work to do in keeping up and training our people and to getting back to our African roots. And one thing I really, really want to push is that there's a bill, the H.R. 40, that's been around since like 1989. That's the first time it was introduced, and it's been sitting there on Congress's desk. And you know, the 40 represents the 40 acres that was given, that was promised to us, but we never received. And so, you know, I've been real adamant and real on like getting this bill pushed so that we can get our reparations. We are the only people who hasn't received reparations. We are the only people. I mean, if you go to any city, they got a Chinatown every damn where. Everywhere you go, there's a damn Chinatown. But we ain't got nothing. Nothing at all. And, you know, I'm tired of the marching. I'm tired of all that. It's time that, you know, we start producing. We start building. We start building stuff. And I'm African. I'm Cape Verdean. And, you know, that's just what I am. So it's like, you know, it's a shame that here in America, how destroyed we are, homosexuals. Like, come on, man. The white man, come on, man. Like, that's not even right. We did before when we was on a plantation, we didn't have all these diseases that we have now, AIDS, STDs. We weren't gay. We weren't. We didn't have all these sicknesses that we have. Now, all of a sudden, we get off the plantation, we got AIDS, we got STDs, we're crack addicts. You know, we're killing each other. We're just the lowest of the lowest. The lowest. You know, we're the most destroyed people. When people really try to argue with me, like, like they don't see what's going on, because they don't. They really don't. You try to shine some light on them. They've been in the darkness for so long, they want to run back into their darkness. We don't like the light. Only those of us who's been awakened, I got some type of knowledge.
Right.
That's black right. power. I hear, man. We got a lot of work to do. That's all I have to say. We have a lot of work to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Black power, brother, you strong, man. You know, you said a lot, and it's real. You know what I'm saying? Like, this radio broadcast is the people's radio. We definitely want to hear, you know, what's on the hearts of the people, especially on a day like today, and we do have a lot of work to do. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, those of us who the Creator saw fit to make us be awakened, you know, it's on our watch. It's the responsibility is in our hands, you know, to, you know, be the ones to guide our people into, you know, consciousness and understanding. And, you know, we are, most of us who are in this freedom fighting energy, we are, you know, we stand out, you know, and people recognize that. So keep being that, you know, that black light, you know what I'm saying, that knocks out the whitewash, you know what I'm saying? Keep being that freedom fighter. And we thank you, you know, for your commentary today, and continue. And we look forward to building. You know, this is one of the brothers, for those of you who don't know, this is one of the brothers out of South Carolina who came down to help Comrade Sharif and us when we were out looking for for Queen Sanaa. And, you know, we thank you for that, you know. But not only that, he's made a conscious effort to become a part of this formation. And we look forward to building with you, King. And, you know, don't make this the last time you participate in the call. You know what I'm saying? Become a regular participant. Because clearly you not only have something to say, you know what I'm saying, it's in your heart. So black power and happy Malcolm X Day to you.
Black power, Jungle.
Black power, you son. You can see, I think it's... And he told me, he said that's his real name. He said he changed his name to... You son, Magnificent Allah, is that correct? Damn. Let the people know who you are.
I changed my legal name to You Son Magnetic Allah. That is my legal name on my ID, my certificate, my ID card.
Yeah, Magnetic. Right on. All right, well, that's magnificent. Black power.
Black power.
I knew it was something bold like that, though. I love it. You know, the Sharif did the same thing. His real name is Sharif Amenhotep. He changed his name, you know, while he was under captivity. So that's a beautiful, that you know, a name says a lot. All right. Who else we have on the line, Brother Carrington?
Black power. All right. Let's open up the lines in Houston, Texas. For our great brother, Brother Emmanuel. Can you hear us, comrade? Black power.
Brother Emmanuel, power, black power.
Black power, queen.
Happy Malcolm X Day, brother.
Beautiful, happy, greatest Malcolm X Day. And I'm saying it's the greatest because today is also my daughter's third birthday. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I was so happy, man, when that water broke on the 18th, because I said, man, this is the spirit of Malcolm, and she going to wait till the 19th. Them doctors said, nah, brother, she coming right now. I say, look here, let me tell you something. Watch what daddy tell you, and watch what happened. And my baby came in at 12:11 on May 19th, 2018, six
Black
months
power.
After my son was murdered. His spirit came alive with the ancestors in her, the greatest form of man, which is woman. That's what you were talking about, sister, a name. As our comrade was speaking before with that magnificent name, names are titles. Titles are identification. And they put identifications on everything, books, everything. Why? Because you have to know who you're dealing with. And so that title is very, very important. And the brother was saying he renamed himself. is because you're going to have to restore yourself through re-education. And when you re-educate yourself, you can make moves like that. So on that morning, I was so full of fire, man, because my baby, I know that every year she's going to be able to grow like I grew in understanding who also shares a day with her, a great man of our people. And as a little kid, man, I was elated by him, man. I was just enamored by him. Why? Because I saw this brother that didn't look, and understand what I'm saying, my people, he didn't look full nigga. He was red. He was light. And so many times back in the day, in the time when we grew up, we was pitched against each other, dark versus light. So if you was a light skin, you wasn't considered full nigga. You had to be boot black, big lips, all this for them to call you the proverbial black, or what they thought black was supposed to be looking like. So every time they looked for us speaking against injustice and standing up for each other, it seemed like they were going to get the boot black. They would get what the people thought we looked like. And so we even educated ourselves and thought we were supposed to look like that. And so we didn't accept anybody speaking for us that didn't. The blacker the better. The yellow bones wasn't in fashion. And this is what Malcolm spoke about in his book. He was telling about the breakdown and how they systematically, they purposefully, methodically did these games against us just so we wouldn't even hear each other. That's what happened when Malcolm was in the nation. There were other brothers in the nation who had ambitions. There were other brothers in the nation who still had those same prejudices. He's working for the white man because he half white. Oh, he ain't full niggas, so we can't trust him. He'll go back. You know, they say he ain't black. It was all type of stuff. And so those misunderstandings, those miseducated ideas instituted into their actions caused division. Well, we should have had unity, but we have to also understand, even in that division, what our father made cannot be separated. It was only given another step for us to learn. We will dwell on that in the future and then not repeat those same mistakes, because all those brothers and sisters that took part in not understanding Malcolm and caused his demise were brothers and sisters in his own fold. And so we must take that same lesson and understand, because all of them, and you can go back and you can look up these brothers that were sent to jail for it, the ones that admitted to actually shooting him, they later on told the people how they regretted what they had done, how these same jealousies that were given to our great ancestors were given to us, and they will continue to be given to us and cause us to be our own demise, because they couldn't come in there and do it. They couldn't do it because they knew people would erupt all over. And you hear these theories by Dick Gregory, who says the trajectory of the bullets that shot our brother were coming from up, and the men that were shooting him were standing right in front of him. And so some of those bullets had to come from an elevated post, which is a sniper's position, because the police had, and the FBI had rented out the Audubon Ballroom weeks prior, just like some people had rented out September 11th World Trade Centers 2 to 3 weeks before the World Trade went down. They rented it out to clean it. And it happened to be the insurance company of the leaseholders, the stockholders to the World Trade. They were the ones who put this cleaning system into the building 2 weeks before, and magically 2 weeks later, the building is destroyed in a way that is not synonymous with a plane hitting it. So we see these things after time, and our great ancestors knew that. So they were just living their lives, and their lives are the things that we will go over, and we will see those things, and we won't allow those things to fool us anymore. And so when I was young, I saw this great man, and I saw him, and he resembled me. And he had red hair, and he was spitting some of the most fire words that we had ever heard. We had heard many others before, but it was so eloquent. And so once we were given him and told to dig into him, he became more than the movie Malcolm X that Spike Lee brought out back in the 90s, because it was a great entertaining thing. Our great general said, we are entertaining people, and so we must be entertained. There's nothing wrong with being entertained and going and getting it, your lessons in an entertaining way. That's how we bring it to you. We don't bring it to you just too forceful. We are lively people, so we got to throw some jokes in there. But even in the joke, we understand it. It's a seriousness. That's how Malcolm presented himself to his people. He let you laugh. That's how Khaled presented himself. He let you laugh because we family. And we're going to joke about it, but that's because we're entertainers, so we got to get our education through entertainment. And so in these movies, we were educated about him, and we saw these great things. And when you go into the book, you find out the movie left out a lot of stuff. Why? Because in the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of all the books, they say this is just a version. And so the movie by Spike Lee could only be a version of Malcolm. And the book could still only be a version, and I'm going to tell y'all why. It's because Alex Haley, when he wrote the book, he basically sat down with Brother Malcolm, and Brother Malcolm recorded his autobiography, and Alex Haley went back and rewrote it up and edited it. And the thing that gets us all, that a lot of people don't know, is Alex Haley actually kept parts of that of Malcolm's excerpt to himself and out of the book. Why? Because some of those statements he was making, some of the things he was talking about, they hit home too well, and he felt like the book wouldn't get the attention that it should have, wouldn't get the notoriety, and so he held back, you know. But when you see the version of Malcolm X, the movie, you see him get into it with West Indian Archie. And West Indian Archie has his back. West Indian Archie is gonna groom him. And he gets into it with West Indian Archie because West Indian Archie tells him his numbers that he picked while they were high were wrong. And West Indian Archie was a man known for numbers. So in a situation like that, you can't call a person out like that when they live by that reputation, and therefore his reputation was threatened. Being threatened, him or Malcolm, they had to go because they went against each other in this situation. Now, if you see the movie, you would see Malcolm was right in the movie. Hold on. Malcolm was right in the movie. He picked the right numbers, but West Indian Archie's mind did slip. But what Malcolm had done wrong is called him out on it, because calling him out on it made him have to make a response. Therefore, that caused separation in what Malcolm had going, the criminal life that he was living. And he further went on in his book and detailed another story, how him and West Indian, he didn't work for West Indian Archie, but that they were common hoodlums in the hood, and they had got into it. And by them being both some stand-up men in that type of world at that type of time, Harlem, somebody had to go, either by death or, you know, you get ran out of town. So Malcolm says in his own words, he chose to leave to avoid a conflict because he knew he was either going to get killed or he was going to kill West Indian Archie. Now, the movie, the depiction, we see him running. We see them come in, Billie Holiday, they run him out of there. He runs through a back window, through the bathroom. Get out here. Later on, he comes back in life, he sees Archie, and he helps the brother. Now, if we are to just be educated by that one representation, that entertainment, we'll only know Malcolm as that way. If we go into the book and we read the book completely, we'll know him of another way. And then you go over here and in our babies today, you like Kathy was saying at the beginning, put down the Netflix and all that, because there's a lot of our babies that are out there, they're watching and learning about Malcolm through The Godfather of Harlem. And you're seeing Malcolm with Bumpy. But you need to understand another thing, too. It is entertainment. It is good, and it will draw us in. But look at the beginning of all those presentations. It's just like the beginning of those books, the Bible and all that, the apocryphal pages. They tell you these are versions. These are fictitious accounts about real people, but they have changed them up for entertainment purposes. So they can make Malcolm look like he was this and he was that for entertainment purposes, but was that truly him? And when we sit up and we see him like that and we learn of him the way they're giving us, we'll think that's who he was, and we were supposed to present ourselves that same way, and we will be being fooled. And that's why Khaled taught us. That's why Elijah taught Khaled, and that's why Farad Muhammad taught Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he passed down the knowledge to those, and they make themselves greater. But you have to pass down the complete story. You're going to have to come keep searching, and you'll find out the deep Malcolm. You'll find out Malcolm got into it with the Nation of Islam. Why? Because Malcolm's discipline at the time, his convictions of the things that were going on in the society and the organization in which he owed his loyalty to, were not going to get into those battles. And so his own self-conviction of wanting to get into those battles caused him to stray a little bit. But we understand in our great brother that is the lesson. If you stray just a little bit, look at what happens. Hold on. Our brothers and sisters turning against us and then regretting later what we did because we didn't realize it. Why? Because we must stay disciplined. And so I talk about my brother on his born day, on my baby's day, because we need the truth. We need the whole of the story. We need to know, did he really hang with Bumpy Johnson? Were the gangsters really like that? When we find out, when we learn, we know that it is true. There's a book called The Black Mafia, the Philadelphia Black Mafia. And you will find out and learn that a lot of the members of the NOI, the Fruit of Islam, the security force, were brothers that had formerly been in the prison and had got out, and they became the security force for them. They became the converted brothers and sisters that presented the world the image of the Nation of Islam. And a lot of those brothers and sisters had what the world would call checkered past. They were gangsters. And that's what we needed. And so the people outside, they feared it. Because they knew these brothers and sisters are organized and they're not asking nobody for no damn permission. They are doing what they have to do. And so if you allow the world to give us the definition of ourselves, they'll tell us that we were bad for that and that the members in the Nation was just some ex-hoodlums wanting to continue running things in their hoodlum ways instead of telling you the greatness of you is that you can be converted. You can change, and that's why Malcolm changed in prison, because our brothers and sisters that are still in there, they ain't giving up. They're continuing their fight from in there. Someone from out of hell brought him out of there, and it's just a representation of us as a whole. We're going to have to be there. There's a lot of us freedom fighters that are in jail. Y'all going to be in jail for the rest of your life. That don't mean you can't freedom fight. You can sit there at the table and bring the little brothers to the table. Our brothers and sisters out here can send you the literature that your libraries fail to give y'all. You can have the correspondence with your brothers and sisters and elevate them. Find them little brothers that are coming in there only for a few minutes and are about to come back into this dangerous world and mentor them. Get them right. As the brother was saying, as Kathy was saying at the beginning, you're not going to get Channel 5 News. You're not going to be the revolutionary that gets popular on their stages like that. They're not going to make us popular. But our stages are the stages that Malcolm stood on in the streets with the people, mixing and mingling, teaching night after night, class after class. And guess what? It interrupted his family. Come back, baby. Come back. Come back. It interrupted his family. He had to share his wife and his children with the world. They had to share him with the world. It was psychological, because you got a wife that wasn't happy. She want to leave you. Why? Because she loves you so much and she sees you giving so much to people and they not returning it back. But that's just because it is, as the prophecy said, it was a time of confusion. We are in the time of confusion. Well, we are coming into the light, and we are learning about each other. And so now we need to go back. And like Malcolm said, when he took his stand and he went undisciplined and he went against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he came back and he fixed that. And he said, no, brother, I apologize. See, they won't tell you that version of Malcolm. They tell you the version that leaves off is us separated and broke. But no, Malcolm saw what it was, and he came back, and he apologized. Now, the die had already been cast, and the things were set in the motion. But I'm going to finish this up. The die had already been cast, and the things were set in the motion already in the hearts, in the minds of the brothers and sisters. And so they took it upon themselves to join with other forces and to take our brother out. These are the days where we will fix that. We should not have that anymore. We are not dogs returning to our same vomit. Once we put it out, we're not putting it back in. You won't get us like that no more. We won't be divided. And so now we will go back and in respect to each other, in understanding the symbolism of the lesson of the slave of the house nigger and the field nigger. We will understand, yes, there are many house niggers that are going to do what they were trained to do, what they were taught to do, and they're going to love that white man. They're going to be ready to die for him. It ain't, they're going to pass it down in their generation. It ain't going to never completely get right back black. What you're going to have to do is understand now is that Malcolm taught us about the field and the house nigger. But what our dear brother did not give us, for it was his time to give us only what he gave us and for us to decipher the next level. And so now we decipher and we understand that the house nigger and the field nigger were both niggers. And I ain't seen one manuscript out here in the world reproduced that can show me what niggers picked what job they wanted to do. Be a field nigger or a house nigger. The house niggers didn't choose, I want to be with the master. I love him, so I want to live with him. Do you know what the nigger in the house went through? Do you know what he went through? He went through the sexual tortures. Do you know the niggas in the house wasn't fucking master's wife, because any nigger that was in the house had to have his dick cut off. You stand in front of a house nigga right now and you tell him he's a sellout. He'll tell you I didn't pick this shit. I've been beat down like you. And it is time for the field and the house nigga to combine their forces. So they both were fooled. You ain't no realer than me, and you ain't no faker than me. We all came on this boat, buck broken. He loved that house nigga because he did his most malicious and evil shit on him. The field nigga got it good. He missed it. But in the same, he got it bad, for he was outside, and that pitted us against each other. Willie Lynch. And the niggas was talking about, I hate you because you like master. I hate you because you don't like master. Knowing that master did all this shit to us in the first place. My children will know these truths. Your children should know these truths. So we can, in our time, redefine and have complete understanding, sympathy for our brothers and sisters who went through the same tortures as ourselves and were given different assignments. Everybody wasn't going to be a construction worker. Yeah, they needed a couple of politicians, the sellout motherfuckers. But you sellout motherfuckers, you're going to get your minds right. And you're going to realize that the time is here. And we are joining forces, because a lot of them field niggas gave food to the house slaves. They gave the medicines, and the house slaves gave the we've always been working together, and I love y'all.
I love you too, but you know what? You gotta. We ain't ready.
Malcolm,
we ain't ready.
Malcolm, but we
brother Matt, y'all know we ready.
I love you.
You that's a tall order right there. You want us to try to
get
a. You want us to get a house niggas a chance.
That don't happen overnight. But we're going to work on
it.
We're not giving them an excuse.
It's got to be a difference between the house niggas and the coons now.
Oh, no. We're not giving you an excuse, though. We're not letting you say, oh, yeah, I've been fooled by the white man. That is my excuse for doing all this. No. We letting you know we know. And we have sympathy for you, but we won't tolerate that bullshit. Because I know it's
right
a man that was fooled against me. It's still going to take me out. And just because you're my goddamn brother and you was fooled wrong, I'm not going to let you take me out. But I will
but some of these,
and
some of these motherfuckers have made a conscious decision to be race
and
traitors.
Then, right, and then
some
we
of
will
them,
have
too many have
compassion. And we won't be, but, we won't be, I'm not happy when I have to take one of you, sell our tax. I didn't want to. College said, I don't hate Jesse. I'm not making fun of Jesse because I hate him. I want him to get right.
Right.
But I know some of you ain't going to do it. But I'm going to let you know, if you ain't getting it, we ain't here to save you. Your time is up. But we're joining forces, the ones that want to heal themselves. And that's what
right
Malcolm
on.
Did. And that's why his spirit is still here. It is in my baby right now. It is in all
Black
of us.
Black Power, we got one
and
more caller we
all.
Want to bring in before they hang us up. And we love
Black
you too,
Father.
Brother. You was going so hard, we couldn't stop you. You know what I'm saying? But we want to get in. Black Power, we love you, brother. Black Power. Black Power.
Thank you, Captain.
Bring in, brother, Yaya.
Black Power, brother.
Black Power, brother, Yaya. Happy Malcolm X Day.
Alhamdulillah. I wanted to share my gratitude. Honorable Crystal Muhammad, for your presence here in the United States and in the world to us, Pan-Africa, and I speak for the Chamorro people. You hold the memory in which if Malcolm X, which is with us right now, would be behind you. We'd be behind your power and the memory. That goes beyond the exported patriarchy that many of our communities across Pan-Africa and the diaspora and in Africa at this moment are confronting. Every effort is being made to erase this memory. And we express our gratitude on this day, May 19th, 2021, for the leadership in which you share and model to all our young female warriors that are rising. All praises to the Creator. I just wanted to express my gratitude. Honorable Crystal Muhammad, thank you for giving me a chance to express it.
Absolutely, brother. Black Power. Black Power, Black Power. It is the
Black
week.
Black Power, brother. Yeah, yeah.
Work, you know. We go all around the world, and the brother calls in representation of the Chamorro people. You know, and we have the brothers and the sisters here in this wicked country and supporters all over the world, man. It just shows the legacy of our ancestors and carrying on that work. You know what I'm saying? So we just want to say Black Power to everybody, you know, on this great and holy day, Malcolm X Day. I don't know, family. I just know, you know, one thing I've been saying it all day, Sister Crystal, man, we should listen to Malcolm. So y'all better listen now. You know what I'm saying? Niggas should have listened to Malcolm. For real. You know what I'm saying? So we want to thank everybody for calling in here tonight, Black Power.
Yeah, we want to thank you all, man. Manuel, your son, Yaya, who pushed one, and everybody that was listening. The switchboard is lit up, but I don't know why nobody pressed one. But I tell you what, we appreciate y'all listening. We appreciate your support. Send us that Cash App to support the new Black Panther Party, too. $ Black Power Dollar. Join us at www.nbpp.org. Get on the front line, brothers and sisters. Get in where you fit in. It's something that everybody can do. We appreciate you. We thank you for listening. Black Power.
The control press, the white press, inflames the white public against Negroes. The police are able to use it to paint the Negro community as a criminal element. The police are able to use the press to make the white public think that 90% or 99% of the Negroes in the Negro community are criminals. And once the white public is convinced that most of the Negro community is a criminal element, then this automatically paves the way for the police to move into the Negro community, exercising Gestapo tactics, stopping any black man who is on the sidewalk, whether he is guilty or whether he is innocent, whether he is well-dressed or whether he is poorly dressed, whether he